And we have to help each other along the way to make this happen, to understand who we are in God's family. You know, most of us actually come from homes where we didn't learn some of these important relationships. That's why we're going through this series. We didn't learn from our parents the proper way to treat women and the proper way to treat men. We didn't really see the model or the example of how to do that. We didn't really see, and our parents didn't tell us about things like, you know, when you like a girl, what do you do about that, right? I mean, what do you do when you want to date them? How do you treat them? What's the goal for it? So we talked about that in previous weeks. You don't see in families, you don't see very much, you know, fathers who are really mentoring their sons and mothers who are really mentoring and guiding their daughters. You don't see that very often. But I want us to think about this in terms of our spiritual family. How do we treat our family members with respect? What does that look like to treat our family members with respect? How do we act in our family members' best interest? How do we protect or defend each other as spiritual family, as brothers and sisters in Christ? How do we desire what's best for our brothers and sisters in Christ? How do we unconditionally love our family members and have healthy boundaries with our family members? All these things are really, really important if we're going to be a strong and healthy spiritual family. And that's what we want to learn in this series, specifically in this honoring your sister part in part three. I'm going to read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And then I'm going to actually hand it over to Ann. She's going to actually share her personal testimony about her relationships with other sisters. And I want to just read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. This is going to be the text, actually, that I preached from for this time. And actually will be the text next time as well when we talk about honoring your brother. So let's go ahead and read it. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. The one thing from Titus 2, 1 through 8, for this week, as well as for honoring your brother in this Connect series, is to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ's family. We need to learn. We need to practice how to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ's family. Can you turn to the person next to you? If it's a woman, then tell them, you're my sister, okay, in Christ. If they're a guy, tell them, you're my brother in Christ. Okay, look them in the eyeball. Okay, so it's awkward. Okay, and just affirm that. Affirm that. See, even right there, it testifies how awkward it is for us to understand that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Because it's so hard to do that in a serious, meaningful manner. But we're going to learn how to do this as a family. Amen?
Amen.
I want to read verse 1 again. It says, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. You know, there is so much confusion about what manhood is and what womanhood is. There's so much confusion about what brotherhood and sisterhood is. And it's so important that we teach this. It's also so important to give a compelling biblical vision for manhood and womanhood. In our church, we call this real men and soul sisters. If you hang around our church enough,
you're going to hear these often, is we want to raise, we want to give this biblical vision of manhood and womanhood. We want to build up real men, and we want to build up soul sisters. Real men who reject passivity, who expect God's reward, who accept responsibility, who lead courageously. Women who are surrendered, who are obedient, who are unique, and who are loved. And this is the vision that we want for you, young men and young women here. We're going to actually ask two questions from Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, about honoring your sister. First question is, sisters, how should you relate to your sisters in Christ? And brothers, how should you relate to your sisters in Christ? Before we get into the text and I start preaching away, I'm going to have Tayan come up and just share her experience about she's been growing in her relationship with her sister.
Hi guys, my name is Ethan and I study biotechnology at UPEHAC. And today I'm just going to share some of my experiences with sisters at church. Yes, as what you have shared at church, you know, at the beginning, I started coming to church because most of my peers were also here in this church as well. So I felt really comfortable going to church, going to life group with them. And then in life group, I was not only with only like my batch of friends, but also with the other older brothers and sisters. And then I realized I hung out more often with the sisters. Not because I initiated, actually, but because they did to me. So we hung out a lot and did so many fun things together, like eating ice cream, having dinner, study together, go running, or even just a random quick walk to get shampoo and all other things. And in those times, they would start to share about their lives, their struggles, and how God has been working in their lives. And at that time, it was so helpful for me to know that I am not having all those like difficult times by myself, especially thinking like, am I really in the right major? Because I was studying biotechnology and it was difficult for me. So, yeah. And then just thinking like, am I going to succeed in future? Or who is God actually in my life? Yeah, and then I realized that talking about God is not awkward or only for religious people. So I enjoy the friendship and just honest sharing about following and their relationship with God that I really enjoy. And seeing like relationship with God is not just like full of joy but also struggle, and that is so like encouraging for me. And then going to the following year, life group was reshuffled, and I didn't get to be in the same life group with people that I used to enjoy. And then it was so obvious that I was with a group of people who I don't really click with, especially with the sisters. And even harder because I didn't have that many older sisters anymore, because most of them graduated. And then I had one new sister's leader that, but I didn't really have enough relationship with her. And I'm really sure that for girls, you know that when you don't click with, you know, those kind of girls that you just don't click with. And it's not and it's not clearly communicated. You still like smile to each other and talk to each other, but you just know that not more than that. So at the beginning, one life group sister asked me like, how did I actually want to contribute to life group that year? I answered honestly, I didn't know, because I didn't really have, you know, relationship with them, so I didn't know how. But instead of rebuking me, she shared about how the cross or the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way that makes the hardest relationship possible, which is Jesus Christ and us, right? So it's possible as well to fight for that relationship for me. So I was so challenged to, first is to be humble and ask for help for that sister's leader at that time. And then the second one is initiate relationship with the sisters and knowing that I cannot walk my faith alone. And it turned out that we actually, with those sisters, we learned the same thing. So, yeah, we shared and we challenged. And finally, we become friends. And not in the selfish way where I just, you know, enjoy the friendship and receive everything, but knowing that the hope is in God. And knowing that even though in future that misunderstanding might come along, but hope is still in God. And it's really good to experience that giving and receiving forgiveness in like real, tangible, and like everyday life. So I was blessed because of that. And yeah, really in part of community, especially group of sisters who don't just love me, but also challenge me in godly way. So yeah, thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks, Tehan. Let's go ahead and talk about sisters. How should you relate to each other, to your sisters in Christ? Men, you should still take notes, okay? This is how you learn about your sisters, okay? All right, let's go ahead and go through this. Sisters, how should you relate to your sisters in Christ? Let me read verses 3 through 5 again. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. There's a few broad things that I think women can learn and from each other as sisters in Christ. So first, women can learn dignified submission to each other. Women can learn dignified submission to each other, from each other. So you can learn submission to authority through other women who model. You know, I don't think it's any secret that men, we've blown it, okay? The reason why, so this is what Doug Wilson, he is a pastor from the United States, this is what he said. Feminism is the deep angst over men not showing up. Okay? So men, in other words, men, we've really blown it. And because of the way that we treat women so poorly, the movement of feminism has risen up where women really have decided that they're going to not submit to men because they're just not very respectable. Because they haven't taken the lead, because they haven't taken responsibility for themselves and for society, and therefore women have had to really step up for themselves. And what women have to learn, and what they often don't learn from society or even from their own homes, is the proper view of submission. Oftentimes women do not learn the proper view of submission, especially from their parents at home. And so they really need this intervention from other sisters in the church to learn what submission is. And learn that it's not you're a slave. Okay? It's not that you are a doormat and everyone steps on you and takes advantage of you and you're abused and you never say anything. That is the furthest thing from submission. If you look at the one who submitted to the Father, that was Jesus. And through his submission to the Father, he brought freedom to the rest of the world, to all people. And that's the kind of submission that we see in the Bible that has to be imitated and passed along from woman to woman. It's not that you are lesser, but that's the way that we honor our brothers. That's the way that God works in this world, is through this submission. Beautiful submission. Also, I think women can learn to love, you can learn love towards your family through other sisters. That we can learn love towards your family. You know,
Women have a responsibility to love their husbands, to love their children. And women, learn how to treat men well. Learn how to nurture children well from other women. This is one of the things that we can make note of, and that I always want to highlight is this. We need more models to show that being a great wife and being a great mother is a noble calling. It's not lesser. It's not something that's worse. It's not something that's secondary. It's a noble calling to be a great wife, to be a great mother. And this is one of the things that I love and I admire so much about my wife. You might have met my wife before. And I love and admire, first, the way that she carries herself and respects me at the same time. Trust me, okay? She can beat me up if she wants to. And she can, definitely, she is more disciplined. She's smarter. She's just better than me, okay? And yet, at the same time, she respects me as the head of our family and as the head of our church. And I see how she carries herself. And this is actually something. We're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary this December. And this is something I didn't see in her when we started dating or when we got married, okay? But it's something that I've seen blossom in her over the last 10 years. As I would have never thought of how beautifully and amazingly she takes care of our family. Why? We just didn't have kids back then. I mean, that's one big reason, right? But when I think about who she was when we got married and who she is now, I love and admire so much the way that she takes care of me, the way that she takes care of our kids, and the way that she carries herself with dignity. I would say that's one of the primary traits that I see in my wife, is that she just is someone who carries herself with a lot of dignity. She doesn't take anything from anybody. And the way that she carries herself in such a Christ-like way is something, the way that she ministers to her family, which is me and our kids. And that is such a great model for other women in the church. We need more models like this, of what it means to be a great wife, what it means to be a great mother, and how noble of a calling that is. So besides just learning about dignified submission, women can also learn about edifying speech from each other. I think you can learn how to exercise. I keep saying we, it's not me, I'm not a woman. Okay. You can learn how to exercise kindness towards other sisters. You know, there's a testimony from our church back when I was a pastor in the U.S., there was a testimony about this younger sister when she was a freshman, a first-year student in university. She was actually quite a wild person, okay? And so she rushed, she went to a lot of different parties. She was involved in different student organizations like sororities. If you ever watch the movies about fraternities and sororities and things like that, it gets pretty crazy. And so there was one younger sister who was involved in these things, especially in the beginning of the year, first semester of her university experience. What happened was one day, this older sister got a phone call. And she said, you know, she was crying and she was kind of in despair. And she found out, this younger sister told this older sister that she had been to a party where there was alcohol. People were drinking alcohol. And actually, she had blacked out. She had, somebody had probably stuck something in her drink and it caused her to black out. And when she woke up, she was worried that she had been actually raped. And so she had nobody else to turn to except her life group lead. Now you have to understand, because she was kind of like a party girl, she had never gone to life group. Maybe like once or twice she'd gone to life group. But in this moment of crisis, she had no one else to turn to, so she called her life group leader. Her life group leader took her to the healthcare center where they did exams, made sure that she was okay, talked to her parents and everything else. And you know what's amazing and beautiful about this is actually because of that time when this older sister just showed her kindness. Right? She didn't judge her. She didn't rebuke her. She just cared for her. And through this act of caring and kindness, she brought this sister in, and this sister began to grow like crazy in university. She became a leader in the church. And even now, she's become this wonderful, wonderful young lady in society. And you know, what we want, what we need in our church is women to exercise this kind of kindness towards other sisters. Sometimes younger sisters will need genuine care and genuine counsel from an older sister. This requires you to be, not to be judgmental, but to be unconditional in the way, in your love and in your acceptance. Women, let's demonstrate that kind of kindness to other sisters. You can also learn how to exercise openness when you share. You need to open up and help each other overcome unhealthy behavior. You know, there's a lot of unhealthy behaviors. I'm not stupid, okay? When I think about our church and I look at the people in our church, and I've been doing pastoral ministry for a long time now, and what I know is that there are people, no matter how good they look, there are people, even women who are struggling with eating disorders, struggling with things like cutting themselves, struggling with addiction to shopping, addiction to pornography, addiction to drug abuse or alcohol abuse, addictions to all kinds of things, struggling with all kinds of things. And even though outwardly they may look like they don't have any problems, inside there's so much more going on. Older sisters, this is what I want to encourage you. Share about your past. Share about your struggles. Share about your experiences, just like our sister Tehan shared. Because it's through sharing those things that it opens up other people to realize, man, I'm not alone. I have these sisters who I respect and who I know love me and care for me. They actually have gone through this or are going through this right now, and I can open up my life to them. You know how much that can minister to people? Sometimes even our greatest pains, you know, our greatest pains, they can be the things that minister to other sisters. Younger sisters, share what's going on in your lives. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to fight and struggle with those things by yourself. The sisters around you are not as perfect as you think they are. And try, because they are not as judgmental and unkind as you might think that they might be. I think this is why it's so important that women, when we talk about speech, it's so important that women, you resist the temptation to gossip about each other. You know, sometimes it's done in the name of like prayer requests. Sometimes it's done in the name of, you know, sometimes it's done in the name of, I'm trying to be open, but you're not being open about yourself, you're being open about other people. You know, we have to identify this kind of talk, whether it's gossip, whether it's talking about things behind people's backs or betraying people's trust. We must call it what it is, which is sin. And that kind of speech is unacceptable. You know what the book of Proverbs says? The book of Proverbs says, words can either kill people or give life to people. A timely word, when someone's in crisis or when someone is discouraged, can bring life to others. So, women can learn dignified submission, edifying speech, and women can also learn healthy skills for life from each other. Now, don't get me wrong with this one, okay? But I'm going to say it because it's important, okay? You can learn the value of work that is done at home, okay? Women, you can learn the value of work that is done at home. Put down your eggs and your rotten vegetables, okay? If you're like a feminist, my wife might get angry until I explain what I mean. And like I said, like I've mentioned, but there is dignity in working at home. In fact, when we think about work, I thought about this. Genesis 1, work wasn't like Adam goes to the office. All work was done around the house, right? He was a farmer. He probably did agriculture. And his work
there was like this blending of work that's done at home and done in his office, which is probably a big cornfield or something like that, okay? And so when we think about work, you think about work being value added. When you add value sometimes when you go to the office or you go to your place of employment, but also you add value at home in the work that you do. Trust me, there's plenty of work to do at my house. If you're bored, there's plenty of stuff that you can do. If you love Excel and you love numbers, please help us with our personal finances. If you are good with a hammer and nail, please come to our house because there's plenty of work to be done. I think work at home is just as challenging, if not more challenging, than work that you do at an office or anywhere else. And it is equal in the dignity that it contains. And so when you have strong skills for the home, you benefit everyone that's in your home. For example, if you cook healthy and you cook well, like the food that you cook tastes good, then it benefits your whole family. I can personally testify to this, okay? Before I got married, I lived like an animal, okay? Did not sleep well, did not brush my teeth, did not eat very well, okay? Until I got married, that's when I started having regular meals. I slept at regular hours, okay? It's because my wife is the one who helped with that. Managing personal finances well benefits you and benefits your whole family. How many families have been ruined because the husband or the wife just managed their finances poorly, and they got into debt, and they're being chased by debt collectors, or they're trying to chase the next get-rich-quick thing? It is a skill that you can learn from one another as sisters in Christ. Do you know, I mean, all of us know this, that things like eating, even exercise, these kinds of things have become unhealthy obsessions in our generation. Why? Because of things like social media that present people have to be look a certain way or do a certain thing or eat certain kinds of food, and like that's like the best thing that, you know what? None of those things are new inventions. Okay? Healthy eating is not something that was invented just when Instagram was invented. Okay? It's something that God has designed. And you know what? The problem is we all, so many people in this generation, even with the basic things of life, like eating and exercise, have become so unhealthy. Women teach each other healthy things, healthy ways to eat, healthy ways to exercise, healthy ways to take care of our bodies, healthy ways of dressing. Women can learn also the healthy skill of relationships with men. Now this is important, so listen up, okay? It is a pervasive trend that men and women don't relate in healthy ways. Like, duh, pastor, that's like the most obvious thing. Just hang out with my friends. You'll realize that men and women do not relate with each other in healthy ways anymore. Too often, women get prematurely attached to men emotionally and or physically. That doesn't surprise me that it happens here in Indonesia. It does. It happens here, okay? Too often, women compete with other women or compare themselves with other women and have become something that hinders their relationships, hinders and distorts their view of themselves or their view of others. Too often women are naive about guys' intentions or guys' thoughts. I'm a guy, and I will tell you as a representative of the male gender, okay, a lot of times we do not have good motives. We do not have pure thoughts, okay? If I'm like the median, then I would say we're pretty bad, okay? And too often women are just naive about guys' intentions and thoughts. Oh, that guy would never, he's so sweet. You know what? Probably not, okay?
Glad that this is good awakening for everybody. I'm just telling the truth, okay? Maybe that's a demon that we have to Too often. Okay, hold that one down over there. Too often, women are too flirtatious with guys, and that's their normal way that they know how to interact with God. Have you ever heard this one? You know, I just get along with guys so much better than girls. You know why that is? I'm going to just be very real with you. It's because sometimes with girls, you don't get along with them because you have to compete with them, you have to be fake with them, whatever it might be. But those guys that are so sensitive, and they listen to you so nicely, and they always take care of you and walk you home and whatever else, and they'll hang out with you and they laugh at your jokes. You know, I really believe that women, you must teach women how to act and how to relate with men. Older men, older women, sisters, older sisters, teach this to younger sisters. Lastly, women can learn reverent spirituality from each other. Women can learn reverent spirituality. You can learn a consistent and close relationship with God. Older sisters, your inward faith in Jesus can and will draw other sisters around you and bring them in. Invite them into those relationships. Teach them how to be a woman of the Word. Teach them how to be a woman of prayer. Teach them how to be a woman of worship. Younger sisters, you can learn the fundamentals of being in relationship with Jesus from older sisters in our church. We have wonderful older sisters in our church who are married, who are single and working, who are doing university ministry here. We have wonderful older sisters in our church that you can learn those basic things of reverent spirituality. You can learn how to glorify God through who you are becoming. You know, sisters, I want to encourage you to grow in your identity in Christ. Grow in your security in Christ. Because as you do that, that's how you will be able to minister to other people. In fact, I think about it like this. I think about the kind of culture, the church culture that I would like my daughter to experience. I would like my daughter to be raised up in, is I would love for them, love for my daughter to have other older sisters. Besides, maybe there's going to be, and I actually am pretty sure, that there's going to be a point when my daughter will not listen to my wife, and my daughter will not listen to me. And what I pray is that there will be older sisters in our church who can speak into her, speak sense into her, and speak truth into her. That's the kind of culture, church culture, spiritual family that we want to build in our church. Who would not want to be a part of it? Let's talk about men now. Brothers, hold on to your seats, all right? You might get stuck around a little bit here, okay? Brothers, how should you relate to your sisters in Christ? Brothers, how should you relate to your sisters in Christ? Don't worry, ladies, we're going to get to you next week. How you should relate to your brothers in Christ. Look at verse 2 and then 6 through 8. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Men must relate with sisters with our Christ-like love, okay? Not with our Don Juan romance, you know? But with a Christ-like love, okay? That means first we have to remember to maintain healthy boundaries. Think about this. Christ-like love is not you always hanging out and you're pouring out your guts to sisters in Christ. It may be a little bit of that, okay? Being in relationship with sisters in Christ, there is some openness and there is some brotherhood and sisterhood that should be there. But it also means that you maintain healthy boundaries between one another. This is what I always tell people, okay? When you're like kids, it doesn't matter. A boy and a girl can take a bath in the same bathtub, right? Oh, that's so cute. That's what people say, right? Even when you're like grade school, okay, you can still kind of be friends like with girls and boys. They can kind of be friends, but by that time they don't like each other anyways. Like girls hang out with girls, boys hang out with boys. They still can have fun with each other. They play tag. Girls still are faster and more athletic than boys. When you get to high school, there has to be some distance, right? You can't like just sleep over. You can't like, you know, talk about certain things. There's physical changes in both boys and girls at that time where showering, inappropriate, right? When you get to university, okay, you cannot treat one another like the same. You can't treat a woman like a guy, okay? And this is like not rocket science at this point, right? And you cannot treat a girl like a guy, right? There has to be boundaries there. In fact, this is a personal experience for me. I realized, you know, even in university, I had friends that were girls, okay? And we were close, we hung out with a group of people. Sometimes I did dumb things, okay, like hung out all night with them. Those are stupid things that I did. But I realized this, after university, there are other boundaries that had to start taking place, right? So some of my friends that were girls, that after university I saw them and they were married, I couldn't just relate with them like I related to them when we were at university, okay? I couldn't be like, hey, what's up? And like, pretend like we're friends and like hang out and, hey, can we grab lunch together? No, we can't! Sorry! That would be inappropriate for me. And it might be inappropriate for you. Like, maybe if your husband came or something like that, it might be better. But just relating with them like, hey, you wanna just hang out tonight and watch a movie? No, that's not how it works. Men must relate with sisters by having healthy boundaries with women. Christ-like love is sacrificial, others-focused love that wants the best for them. This means, for men, that we don't do certain things in order to honor our sisters. Right? We don't say certain things around them. We won't open up our guts and talk about our vision and talk about our struggles, like 100, all of it, like, you know, our lust problems with sisters, because there are boundaries that are there, and out of love, we don't do those certain things. Now, there are some things that we do out of love for our sisters. Think about them as a sister. If they're in trouble, if someone is threatening them, if they need a ride home because there's an earthquake, okay? And they need a way home, you're gonna walk them home and jump through over the cracks and help them. Okay? Because as a brother in Christ, you will do things like any brother would in a family because you love them. And these are boundaries. Let me just share a mistake that I made, okay? I'm dumb like almost guys here, okay? You know, in my life group, there was a time where, when I was in university, where like, you know, life groups, they cook meals together, right? And so I remember one of the sisters in life group, she wanted to cook, and so I said, oh, I can help. And so I went over to help, and it was just, you know, it would be one of those things where, you know, I can't really help that much in the kitchen, so, you know, I'm goofing around, I'm playing guitar, and, you know, making jokes with her, and, you know, trying to help, and kind of messing up and stuff. And, you know, that happened once or twice, where she was very helpful in our life group. You know, she was like, wow, that's a wonderful life group member. And so whenever she wanted to help, I would come over and I would help, you know, cook and all this stuff, or play guitar, or joke around with her. And what I realized, okay, was I realized that someone told me, hey, someone pulled me aside and kind of hit me over the head. What's wrong with you? You know, when you do those things, you know what you're doing? Guys, don't use this for evil, okay? So what you are doing is you are building like an attachment. Because she's seeing you do things that will cause her to like you. And I'm like, okay, What do I do now? Okay. And I had to admit it. Okay, this is the thing that I want you to know, guys. Okay, men, we cannot just say, trust me, I have pure motives. Alright, I know that mind. And none of us, if I understand the depravity of man, it is that all of the areas of our lives are contaminated with sin. And so in that situation, could I say in the purest of heart that when I was playing guitar, I didn't want her to even notice that I was playing guitar, right? Or did I, you know, when I was making a joke, was my motive absolutely pure that I just wanted to entertain her and make her laugh? Or did I want her to think something more about me? God, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest and say that we cannot just say, trust me. When someone says, Pastor, just trust me, I got this under control, I say, I do not trust you. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust myself. Because we do not have absolutely pure motives ever. If you do, then your name might be Jesus Christ, and we're going to have to get rid of you because, well, there's only one Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 5, verse 2 says this, treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters. Would you treat your mom that way?
Mama.
Would you treat your younger sister that way? That's disgusting! There's so much wisdom in this passage of Scripture. Treat older women like your moms. Treat young women like your sisters. Men, let's do this. Let's have those kinds of appropriate boundaries with men. We have to honor our sisters with all purity when it comes to our minds and our bodies. The norm in society has become to sexualize women. And it is almost the default way that most men think now. We have to have boundaries, therefore, okay? We have to have boundaries, and we have to allow God to renew our minds to see women differently. And that's why we want you to build relationships. That's why we don't say, men, you're on this side of the room. Women, you're on this side of the room. You can never talk to you. No, you have to, okay? Because we want you to build healthy relationships. But men, we have to understand that we have been inundated in a society where women have been sexualized. Okay? And we have to be allowing God to renew our minds. We have to be pure in our minds and pure in our actions and with our bodies. That means oftentimes I see young guys and young girls too touchy, doing things like tickling one another, okay, or tackling one another. Sometimes I've seen people physically, they're like wrestling. I'm like, that is inappropriate between a guy and a girl. I'm not even kidding about this. You know, sometimes, I see this even in Indonesia, okay? When guys are like acting all huffy and puffy, and guys are always like, sometimes I see guys who are always like touching their groin or like lifting up their shirt, like just up to their belly. Sometimes there's not much, you know, it's like, you gotta keep that shirt down, right? And sometimes they're always like, you know, poking or grabbing their crotch. I'm like, what are you doing, guys? I think in their minds they think, oh, women like this, right? This is attractive. This is like sexy or something. You know what? It's not. And even if we think it is, it's not biblical. It's not appropriate. You would not do that in front of your mother or in front of your sister. Guys, let's teach our younger brothers not to do that. Amen. No touching the groin, okay? Men must relate with sisters not only in their Christ-like love, but also with our communication. With our communication. We often mislead sisters by sending signals when we are not genuine or when we are not ready to make a committed relationship. Flirting with women might be very normal for you. It definitely is very normal in our society. We have to be mindful of our body language. We have to be mindful of playful joking. We have to be mindful of ambiguous things that we talk about that send signals, illegitimate signals, when we share too deeply, when we share too much,
but we share too often. You know, I know some guys that they're just, they know how to press the buttons. And I and some guys, they're just genuinely clueless on this, but now there's no excuse. Is that the way that we can get a sister's attention is just by sending them a message over WhatsApp. Now, don't get take this to the extreme, like every WhatsApp, there's a jerk, let me just delete it, right? Don't think like that, okay? But guys, we got to be honest with ourselves, okay? That sometimes you will send illegitimate messages. Sometimes we can just be too comfortable sharing to girls. We can't. Like I said, just like women sometimes will say, you know, I just am so comfortable around guys more than girls. Guys, why is it that you only share with that one girl when there are all these other guys who listen to your problems? We need to have boundaries regarding time spent with women, with our sisters, as well as time talking with women. You know, men and women who talk too frequently, this creates a false sense of intimacy. And our social media habits, especially, are ways that we kind of roped in people. So women, sisters, beware of this, okay? So we have to be mindful about sending misleading signals. Also, we have to be mindful of saying uplifting, not degrading words to our sisters. Be careful about saying things that women are sensitive about. Men, do not ever talk about a woman's weight. Don't even joke about it. Don't be like, oh, I know this girl, okay? If you knew how much of an issue that is for women, then you would understand why that is an absolutely inappropriate thing to joke around about. Even if they're not, isn't it better to be safe than sorry? I mean, there's like a million other kinds of jokes that you could make. You don't have to make a joke about a woman's weight or a woman's physical appearance. I don't know, I feel like, sometimes I tell my kids that, right? You know, like cursing? That's like the easiest thing to say, right? You know? Same thing with like joking. The easiest kind of joke is a joke about a person's physical appearance at their expense. Men, let's go above that. Let's share words that are uplifting, not degrading to women. Men, we must relate with our sisters, not only with Christ-like love and communication, but with chivalrous actions, okay? Not just nice manners, okay? Chivalrous is like this old-fashioned word that means noble, that means acting with courage. It means doing the right thing. It means being a gentleman. Okay, all rolled up in one. This is chivalry. And just like the word has been lost, the concept of chivalry is lost. Okay? Men, we must protect our sisters in Christ. I hope that when you are in a position to do so, you will step up and you will defend our sisters. Men, you have to protect your sisters' reputation. Don't put them in situations that are compromising to them. Don't put them in situations where they might be misrepresented or misunderstood by other people. Don't talk about them in a demeaning way around others. Let's protect our sisters. Let's protect our sister's reputation. If someone says something bad about my sister, I would get ticked off. You better watch out. That's how this family ought to operate. If someone talks badly about our sister, we better be the one to say, I don't think that's the right thing to say about any woman. We have to protect our sisters' reputations. We have to learn how to lead. Brothers, We must learn how to take the lead. Let's take the initiative in setting boundaries. Let's take the initiative in communicating clearly. Let's take the initiative about growing up spiritually. You know, if some things like, some, you know, some lines are being crossed, you know, some conversations are going in a way that may be too deep or too personal, men, can you have the guts to be like, I think that's something you should talk about with a sister. Let me call my trusty sister, Dan, right? Can you take the lead in the way that you communicate? Maybe taking the lead is someone keeps messaging you and you don't message them back. You just kind of leave it as is. That may be mean, right? That may feel mean. But that's actually a way to honor your sister, right? By the way that you grow up spiritually. Men, you know the best, easiest way that women can follow and submit is when you are respectable, when you are mature, and when you are leading well. So grow up spiritually, man. Grow up in your faith, grow up in your character. Like I said, grow up in rejecting passivity and expecting God's reward and accepting responsibility and leading courageously. Learn how to serve your sisters. Sisters, don't misunderstand it. When men are trying to help you, they're just trying to help you. Okay? If it gets shady, or you get that weird feeling, obey that feeling, okay? But don't misread it when just a brother is trying to treat you well. Men, let's treat all women consistently well. Wouldn't it be great if women didn't have to worry about men? You know, who are checking them out, praying on them when they came to church. Wouldn't it be great? Don't you think that this should be the culture in our church family? That men are actually watching out for their sisters? Where it's not a fashion show, it's not a dating game or a meat market at church, but it's a safe place where we can be who we are, and we can grow together, and we can be brothers and sisters in Christ and their family. That's the kind of church that we want to become. That's the kind of church family that God wants for you. Let me conclude tonight's sermon with three questions for our life application. What I want to do is actually, I didn't tell the life group leaders ahead of time, so my apologies for that, but in your life groups, have the brothers meet with the brothers and have the sisters meet with the sisters. If you're not in a life group, just jump in with a life group that maybe you are familiar with or that you know. If there's a guy or a girl leader that's not there, maybe Pastor John or Sasha, some of the older guys who are not in Access Ministries can kind of jump in there. Three questions. Leaders, our sisters, what do you need to implement regarding submission, speech, skills, and spirituality in your own life? What do you need to implement regarding submission, speech, skills, and spirituality to your own life? Second question. Sisters, what can you pass along regarding submission, speech, skills, and spirituality to fellow sisters? What are the lessons that you've learned? What are the experiences that you've had that you can pass along? What are the testimonies? What is the healing that you've experienced in these areas that you can pass along and share with others? And share that with your group. And brothers, what do you need to implement regarding your Christ-like love, communication, chivalrous actions to your sisters in Christ? Let's put this into practice by right now. Let's treat each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Let's get better at this. Amen?